ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 23, and Text number 56. Na kenachit kvapi kathanchana asya dvandva uparagaha परतः परस्य यथा अहम् संस्कृति रूपिणः स्यात् एवं प्रबुद्धः न बिभेति भूतैः न केनचित् क्वापि कथञ्चनस्य द्वन्द्वोपरागः परतः परस्य यथाहं संस्कृतिरूपिण एवं प्रबुद्धो न बिभेति भूतैः न केनचित् क्वापि कथञ्चनास्य द्वन्द्वोपरागः परतः परस्य यथा अहं संस्कृतिरूपिण स्यात् एवं प्रवृद्धो न बिभेति भूतैः न केनचित् क्वापि कथञ्चनस्य द्वन्द्वोपरागः परतः परस्य यथाहं संस्कृतिरूपिणः स्यात् एवं प्रबुद्धो न बिभेति भूतैः No, there is not. Kenachit. By the agency of anyone. Kvapi. Anywhere. Kathanchana. By any means. Asya. Of him. The soul. Dvandva. Of the duality of happiness and distress. Uparagaha. The influence. Parataha parasya. Who is transcendental to material nature. Yatha. In the same way as. Amaha. For the false ego. Samsriti. To material existence. Rupinaha. Which gives shape. Syakt arises evam thus prabuddhah, one whose intelligence is awakened, na bibheti, does not fear bhutaihi, on the basis of material creation. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The false ego gives shape to illusory material existence and thus experiences material happiness and distress. The spirit soul, however, is transcendental to material nature. He can never actually be affected by material happiness and distress in any place, under any circumstances, or by the agency of any person. A person who understands this has nothing whatsoever to fear from the material creation. The Brahmana has refuted 6 specific explanations of happiness and distress of the living entity. And now he refutes any other explanation that might be given. On the basis of false ego, the bodily covering factually overwhelms the spirit soul, and thus one falsely enjoys and suffers that which has no relationship with oneself. One who can understand this sublime teaching of the Brahmana, spoken by the Lord to Uddhava, will never again suffer the terrible anxiety of fear within the material world. Om Ajnanati Virandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshul Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manomishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavascha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusate Devi Pranamami Sri Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavarebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Nakena Chit Kvapi Kathanchanasya Dvandvo Paragaha Paratah Parasya Yatha Aham Sansruti Rupinah Syad Evam Prabuddho Na Vibheti Bhutaihi. The false ego gives shape to illusory material existence and thus experiences material happiness and distress. The spirit soul, however, is transcendental to material nature. He can never actually be affected by material happiness and distress in any place, under any circumstances, or by any agency of any person. A person who understands this has nothing whatsoever to fear from material creation. Do you all understand? We have to increase this understanding. There is no doubt about it. Otherwise, what is the use to be Krishna conscious? Yeah. We see in the previous verses, there are 5 causes of the possible factors for our reactions that we are getting for happiness or distress. They might be caused, we give out of ignorance an easy explanation attached to somebody else, or maybe, our attachment and other things also. But when one tries to put the simple philosophy that if we are not the doer, then who are we? And why should we attribute the causes to others? So, out of our all different faculties, senses, mind, intelligence, and whatever is encompassing through these three main agencies, you know, we try to be rational, but it is all generated out of ignorance. Therefore, everything should be refuted. Starting from 49th verse, he is attributing first to the mind the cause of his distance. Say, if one's mind is perfectly fixed and pacified, then tell me, what need does anyone have to perform ritualistic charity and other pious rituals? And if one's mind remains uncontrolled, lost in ignorance, then what is what use are these engagements for him? Then the senses, all the senses have been under the control of mind since the time immemorial, and the mind himself never comes under sway of any other. He is stronger than the strongest, and his godlike power is fearsome. Therefore, anyone who can bring the mind under control becomes the master of the senses. Failing to conquer the mind, this is an irrepressible enemy, whose urges are intolerable and who torments the heart. Many people are completely bewildered and creates useless quarrel with others. Thus they conclude that other people are either their friends, their enemies, or parties indifferent to them. Persons who identify with this body, which is simply the product of the material mind, are blinded in their intelligence, thinking the term of I and mind, because the illusion of this is I, but that is someone else. They wander in endless darkness. So, the arguments start with ifs to refute all these different factors attributed to the resultant activity, either in happiness or distress. Understand this argument, they are very important. If you say that these people are the cause of my happiness and distress, then where is the place for the soul in such a conception? This happiness and distress pertain not to the soul, but to the interactions of material bodies. If someone bites his tongue with his own teeth, at whom can he become angry in his suffering? Neither the teeth are soul, nor the tongue is the soul. Nonetheless, who experiences the pain of it? If you say that demigods who rule the bodily senses cause the suffering, I must have done in past, so the demigods are forcing me to. Still, how can such suffering apply to the spirit soul? This acting and being acted upon are merely interactions of the changeable senses and their presiding deities. When one limb of the body attacks another, with whom can the person in that body be angry? Then another argument comes. If the soul himself were the cause of happiness and distress, then we could not blame others. Since happiness and distress would be simply the nature of the soul, According to this theory, nothing except the soul actually exists. And if we were to perceive something besides the soul, what would be? That would be illusion. Therefore, since happiness and distress do not actually exist in this concept, why become angry at oneself or others? And if we examine the hypothesis that the planets are the immediate cause of suffering and happiness, then also where is the relationship with the soul who is eternal? After all, the effect of the planets apply only to the things that they have taken birth. Expert astrologers have moreover explained how the planets are only causing pain to others, each others. Therefore, since the living entity is distinct from these planets and from the material body, against whom should he vent his anger? If we assume that fruitive work is the cause of happiness and distress, we still are not dealing with the soul. The idea of material work arises when there is a spiritual actor who is conscious and a material body that undergoes the transformation of happiness and distress as a reaction to such work. Since the body has no life, it cannot be the actual recipient of happiness and distress, nor can the soul, who is ultimately completely spiritual and aloof from the material body, since karma thus has no ultimate basis in either the body or the soul. At whom can one become angry? So, these six different kinds of arguments are introspective guides, and one can remain at least intelligent enough to discern when one gets angry. Then he will withdraw from the anger. People say, how can I control my anger? Then give them these arguments. These are personally spoken by Lord Shri Krishna to Uddhava in the story of Avanti Brahman. The last argument he gives, that well, Kala, the time. Time is Krishna, so do you want to blame Krishna? If we accept time as the cause of happiness and distress, that experience still cannot apply to the spirit soul. Since time is a manifestation of the Lord's spiritual potency, and living entities are also expansions of the Lord's spiritual potency manifesting through the time, certainly a fire does not burn its own flames or sparks, nor does the cold harm its own snowflakes or hail. In fact, the spirit soul is transcendental and beyond the experience of material happiness and distress. At whom, therefore, should one become angry? So, it is the false ego induces to think us in various ways. In performance of any activity that yield result, Krishna explains very simply in Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, 14th verse, where all these five factors responsible, they have been described. And a beautiful purport is given by Srila Prabhupada to that. So, let's refer to that. Adhisthanam tatha karta karanam cha prathak vidam vividhascha prathak cheshta daiva chevatra panchamam. The place of action of the body, the place of action means the body, the performer, the various senses in that different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul These are the five factors of action. And he says, O mighty armed Arjuna, according to the Vedanta, there are five causes for accomplishment of all actions. And that's why he is describing the five factors. And five factors are under the influence of ignorance. So therefore, something is drastically happening. So Prabhupada said, the word adhisthanam refers to the body. The soul within the body is acting to bring about the result of activity and therefore known as karta, the doer. Even though if he has nothing to do, but we will find out what he has to do. That the soul is the knower and the doer is stated in Sruti. Esha hi drashta srushta in Prashnopanishad. It is also confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra by the verses Gnota eva and karta shastrarthavat. The instruments of the actions are senses, and by the senses the soul acts in various ways. For each and every action there is a different endeavor, but all one's activities depend upon the will of the super soul who is sitting within the heart of a friend. The Supreme Lord is the super cause. Under these circumstances, he who is acting in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the super soul situated within the heart is naturally not bound by any activity. Those in complete Krishna consciousness are not ultimately responsible for their action. Everything is dependent on the Supreme Will, the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you do anything, the nature will impel you. The nature is acting under the three modes of material nature, right? What are the three? Sattva Guna, Raja Guna. As soon as the living entity becomes sthana bhrashta, is fallen from its original constitutional position, Nityaradas. First and foremost thing is to envelop him is ignorance. This ignorance is creating the deepest, darkest veil on the soul. It's called false ego. That makes him think and experience dualities, happiness and distress, cold and heat. Even though the soul has nothing to do with heat and cold. I'm putting up so heavy thing, but because I'm thinking I'm cold. Hey Prabhu, that is a fact. But what the soul has to do with it? If the soul is transcendental to the, any effect or any cause of material creation, then who is responsible? The soul is not responsible. But who does all this thing on behalf of us, but also makes us think out of false ego that I am the doer? Blame to the mighty. Krishna made me do But Krishna is also educating by the same time. That soul is transcendental. But he desires. The desire which is separate from Krishna's desire. Actually, Krishna is the doer of everything. The Paramatma who is situated in our heart, by our side, the soul desires and Paramatma supplies. Man proposes and God disposes. It's a super soul who is the real controller, who is the real master of the entire cosmic manifestation. The body is a cosmic manifestation. The soul expresses the desire to lord it over the surrounding, which is the adhisthanam or the body. So he wants to enjoy the world of opposites. He wants to become enjoyer. Our foolishness due to the ignorance of ego, think we are enjoyer. But actually, the modes are the real enjoyer. Modes of material nature. The Lord sets in. The Lord sets in the modes of material to act under. So we have to somehow or other, whatever is influenced by the modes must be controlled. So a devotee, by dovetailing all his activities through body, mind and intelligence in service of Krishna, then there is no way the soul will ever become responsible, because the thinking of being a servant to Lord Krishna and executing and telling to others, mind, body, mind and words, all three engagements will help us to smash our false ego, will make us liberated, and then engage in pure spontaneous devotional service. So, when the soul desires, then he can believe he is an actor. But he is transcendental. His desire is misplaced. And if it is the desire, then desire which is not congenial to Krishna's desire, are not at par, equal to Krishna's desire, till then the false ego is not smashed. So therefore, sarva-dharmāna parityajya māmikam saraṇam vraja. Unless and until we take resolute shelter, utter shelter, by smashing our false ego, Krishna will take care of us. Aham tvam sarva pāpebhyo mokṣiṣyāmi māsuca. So it's very important that in Krishna consciousness we have to smash our false ego. Because that is the root cause that inadvertently makes us think that we are enjoyer. Soul is not doing na karmani na kartutvam srujate vibhu. If Lord Krishna is not creating anything, neither he has anything to do. Na gatte kasyachit papam na punyam. He never accepts anybody's pap or punya, because he remains transcendental, aloof by his full cognizance, but we remain totally under ignorance and we think, I have to do the job, I'm the doer. You know, if I don't do the job, I will lose the purpose of coming to Australia. So we think we are the doer. Then we are advised gradually to engage our activities in Krishna's service, thinking we are not the doer. If Krishna is the ultimate cause of all causes and Paramatma is his representation, and he controls everything, that's why he is there. This is his realm. And therefore he is omnipresent in order to make sure that everything belongs to him. You know, otherwise there are so many rebellious souls, they want to create their own empire, but from time to time they get smashed. These arguments against the so-called happiness and distress and throwing the blame on somebody. No, this should be understood in order to our becoming free from the duality. Tolerate the inconveniences without complaint. World is filled with so many inconveniences. Kali Yuga is another Krishna's agent by causing more inconveniences. That's all. Hey Prabhu, inconveniences was there in Satya Yuga also. The great people, the sadhus who were always remaining in mode of goodness, you know, they were troubled by the rakshasas. It's not, sometimes people say, is Satya Yuga better than Kali Yuga? So again, the sense of opposite is there. What do you think? Which is better, Kali Yuga is better or Satya Yuga is better? Kali Yuga is better. No, everything is meritorious. It is the influence of the time. But there is fortune in Kali Yuga. Only one. Otherwise it is filled with opposites. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangam Param Rajet. Mukta Sangam is liberated from the effects of the three modes. Unless and until our false ego is smashed, we will never be liberated. It is the function of spiritual master to smash our false ego. If the spiritual master is not going to smash our false ego, then who is going to smash? Be ready to get smashed. You know, it means more smashes we get, more humble we should become. Otherwise, artificial humility does not lead to the real resolution of liberation. People fake it out, you know. So, we'll look into details every day, because till the end of the chapter, you know, there are so many conclusive aspects of this practical, application in the life of a devotee who wants to advance. Is being described. We will visit all these six arguments, you know, often. You know, but it is a conclusive method. It is spoken by Lord Krishna himself in the form of, you know, the story of Avanti Brahmana. We have to place ourselves in that shoes and revisit our karmic life and see how much miser we were. To how many people we were able to please. So naturally they are going to speak ill of us and what not. But how to understand by situated in a kutastha position. That is akshara. That is an infallible position the soul achieves by becoming intelligence in Krishna consciousness. So, Krishna is explaining the same thing in Bhagavad Gita in detail, but this is Mahapurana, so, and it is spoken in the form of a very illustrative way, which is more applicable. So it should be understood thoroughly. After Prabhupada, the devotees also did a wonderful job to give the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Bhakti Vidya Bhushan, Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. These are our predecessors, Acharya, and we have to understand through their understanding. Their parampara understanding should be also coming. Now, yes, I belong to parampara, but I do not understand why it is that and why not. People quibble. If you are in parampara, you are ought to understand the way previous acharyas understood, not your way or my way. So, this particular verse is telling that it is the false ego that overwhelms the spirit soul, and the overwhelming means what happens in overwhelming situation.
Experiences.
Sammoha. Sammoha means delusion of duality. Duality comes right in front of it. So he becomes confused. Become confused. In illusion, everyone is confused. And if person do not understand, he gets confused. Because that's not he is going to accept. Now who is not accepting? After all, ultimate perceiver, percepting agent is the soul. Right? But the soul doesn't have anything to do with it. Many a times an example is given. My hand feels that this is book. So my body, senses, mind and intelligence, I identify this as a book. But what the soul has to do with it? The soul identifies by the activities of the modes of material nature. Activities of the modes of material nature. They are in the book, they are in my senses, the three modes of material nature. Because the body is composed by different combination of sattva-gun, rajogun or tamogun, binding the material energy that makes my body. But animating spirit is me. And I want to express my desire out of false ego thinking I am the doer. I want to have this book. Just by the book, I do not understand it is transcendental. But if I open up It will smash my false ego. Isn't it? So this is called revered book. Most reverential aspect to the book has to be given. It's not simply believing, but you have to make your soul understand that in front of the book and the knowledge exposed, that can smash your false ego. If you read any other book, it will simply flame your false ego, not smash. That is called the comparison of this transcendental literature, which is filled with the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, is another kind of creation. Tadavaga visargo janataga viplavo. Janataga viplava. Aga means sinful activity. Now, again, sinful activities means inauspiciousness that the soul out of his old false ego created around him. That is called papa. Aga means papa. But this creation of transcendental nature is not a mundane creation. Because it is filled with nāmāni anantasya yashankitāniyat. In this literature, the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His name, form, qualities and pastimes are described, which are all transcendental in nature. So therefore this is spotless. Spots are created by the three modes of material nature. You will not find any effect of three modes of material nature. Arjun seemed to have, but it is smashed. The Guru has a business to smash it. Krishna started smashing the false ego of so-called foolish pious Arjuna. Asochyananva sochyastam pragyavadamsya pasase. You think you are a big pandit, but real pandit will not regret. You know, he may speak so much erudite, but he will not regret for those of coming and going nature of material existence. So, to work in Krishna consciousness means with full cognizance of the freedom of the soul who has nothing to do. And the soul will rejoice that atmosphere. They say Guru is supposed to be very heavy. Heavy means your ego is heavy, that's why he is heavy. We need to smash it, so therefore we feel heaviness of getting smashed. What did they teach you in school? Inflame your ego. You are this body. But what do we teach you here? You are not this body. You better believe. It's completely opposite. So, these lessons are very important. And it will be very, very helpful. Anybody has any question or comment? will revisit all six arguments in coming classes, one after another, you know, and get into details. This will help to establish even art of mind control. Because mind is a very celebrated entity. And because of its villain, you know, role, mind is a real villain. Completely opposite character. And everybody thinks in the mind. Oh, I think. Who cares for your thinking? Prabhu? Oh, I worship Lord Krishna within my mind. With the three modes of material nature. Will it be? Okay? Mind is not free. It sees lots of colors sparkling out from the modes of ignorance, passion. Some goodness is there, but what we have to do with it? When people argue with foolish piety, and yes, I don't want to hurt anybody, I won't lie, I won't cheat. But he is cheating himself right now by speaking this. There is no necessity to become Krishna conscious, you know. If you are good to yourself, you know, good to others. But he may be the first class demon. So, any question?
In today's context, we are all working in class and everything. And what are the initiatives that we have to take to identify or differentiate we have got the false ego? And how we are going to approach?
Make a schedule. Make a schedule. If you have a very tight schedule or liberal schedule, you can manage according to that. You have to make a schedule. Otherwise, Krishna will make schedule for you. Because after all, it is all controlled by the time, which is a transcendental factor. It's imposed upon us. But time doesn't have any influence on eternality of the soul. So how could that be responsible? He argues like that. So, to become Krishna conscious, it's a work of flick of second. To understand in this way and ready to apply. So you have to make a schedule today. I will smash my false ego by beating up mind. As soon as I get up from the morning, I will beat it with the shoes and threaten him. But application is there. It is also left to our desire. But by thorough explanation and the argument is there. So these arguments must be scrutinizingly understood. That somehow or another we make these arguments as our alibi. And if we do not understand the arguments, then we delay the application. If we delay the application, then how can you put up in the management, time management? So everything has to be examined. This is really the analytical aspect of Sankhya Yoga also, how to liberate the soul. Because it's very systematically, one after another. The activities is Krishna consciousness. Because you are going to deny your soul all that you were thinking up till now. You are not going to attribute any thing, because you want the false ego to be exposed naked and purging. That is the purpose. So you have to examine how to remove this covering of the false ego. Means how to become prabuddha. Here it is said, evam prabuddha na bibheti bhutaihi. Prabuddha means become intelligently awakened. Krishna conscious intelligence is the real intelligence, and if you are awakened, then your false ego will be exposed, and then you will be able to smash. Otherwise, it is so much a hidden enemy. It means you have to have the process of learning Krishna consciousness. Application is there, chant 16 rounds for the four regulative principles, and do favorable service to Krishna. You will be on the topmost situation. At least you are denying your body. You will be at least in remaining in mode of goodness. Then further than mode of goodness, you will be able to enter into the activities of the soul. These activities of the soul are actually not affiliated to the soul, but we think. Soul can only do desires, cannot act. But he becomes the motivator, or what we call animator. What does an animator do? Simply his presence is there and influence is given. What does it mean, animator?
Animator seems to make things move. Seems like a cartoon animator.
Yes.
Seems to make a cartoon move, but it doesn't move.
Right. And you make it animate. Means it is the influence of the soul is added. You can make even a cartoon speak. So artificial intelligence will try to add what you call the speech in a cartoon. So there are different kinds of action in the cartoon animation. There's a lot of animation. Animation is the real application of this computer electronics. Right? So it has been designed in such a way that you make, but it is, after all, came from the desire of the soul. Alright? So who will you attribute that? The soul simply desires, but he influences under the false ego to do certain thing which is ending up in a temporary impact of a reaction. So, as if the soul is the doer, But ultimately soul is not the doer. Your false ego will make you think that the soul is the doer. But Krishna doesn't agree. He says it's all modes of material nature. They impel, through the mode of ignorance, they impel the soul think that he is the doer. Prakriti kriyamani gunai karmani sarvasa ahankaram vimudhatma kartaram iti matyate yatha aham. Aham means the false ego. So, the soul under false ego thinks he is the doer. Remove the false ego, then his original occupation will be revealed. A person who is not humble, he is not going to understand Krishna consciousness. He has to become humble. By hook or crook. Make yourself humble by hook or crook. If you think, if you think you are somebody, then Prabhu, I'm sorry. Watch out. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us that we are nobodies. And how could you say you are somebody? Any other?
Literally conditioned consciousness, we are not able to perceive the presence of the Lord. Of course, like in the deity form, the temple, even in the pictures, photo frames, the proper murti, the form books, and everything. But that shows how much we are conditioned and that we are so impersonal. We don't treat deity as a supreme person, and we don't really be in the mood of consciousness to be able to understand that we are in the in the Lord's temple, down and such. And the mood and the consciousness required to be able to do our devotional activities here. We are so much impersonal in that sense.
And right.
We need the correct kind of training to be able to perceive the reality. But when it comes to us, I demand everything to be personal.
Very good.
Everyone should surrender unto me. If I move a little mad, wait for some 10 people to glorify me, so that the whole world knows that what I have done.
Uh-huh.
So we demand so much personalism in our selfish world.
Because you are a person that is a fact.
Yeah.
You know? But you behave impersonally.
With the Lord, yeah.
Or with anybody.
With anybody, yeah.
Right. Do you know what is the process? Have you become a pujari? Not yet?
No.
Well, then you will be given chance, Prabhu. That is the point. Kapil Dev is explaining to Mother Devahuti that we are given the opportunity to worship the Supreme Lord in the form of Archavigraha and treat him exactly the way you want to be treated.
Yes.
Because you are simple, part and parcel. So you offer every service to him, and because you are outpouring your sentiment in a very prescribed way, in a very methodological way, that you will be taught by keeping intact all the transcendental nature, plus by such service you will be trained up into exhibit that transcendental nature. So ultimate bottom line is shown by Kapil Dev. That if a pujari, if he does not realize Paramatma in the deity, in the devotees, and won't behave according to Samadarshina, then whatever he is trying to do is a failure. But don't get discouraged. It is this the puja of archana. Paddhati is there. It is to make you realize Paramatma. So you can't give up the process. But there is a specific, you know, mention about this by Kapil Dev, because unless and until you realize Paramatma means localized aspect of the Absolute Truth, not only the knowledge aspect of the Absolute Truth, because you are a person, knowledge is not going to be satisfying you. So practicality has to be shown. So in our system of 9 processes, we have to put up gradation. In the beginning, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Then, Archanam, Vandanam, Pujanam. And then, when you thus become realized in Paramatma, then and then you can enter into Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. Otherwise, you know, we are jumping like monkeys.
Yeah,
everything. So, Rupa Goswami, he wants us to develop in Vaidhi Bhakti like that. And great, one after another, things will be there. So, that's a good question. We are person, you know, and we need that attention. So, if the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom you are part and parcel and you are person, then what about His person situation? It allows you to think for Him. But how to achieve? Okay, have a practice. Get up early in the morning before the Lord and perform all this seva in Ashtayam, Ashtakaliya Seva. You know, how he was worshipped by Mother Yashoda, what mood, develop that. And you will see that the deities are reciprocating. The body of, or what we call the form, that reciprocates is called Vigraha. Otherwise is Sharir, Deha, Tanu, with the different aspects. But Prabhupada said, we are not idol worshippers. We are performing vigraha. Why vigraha? Because our sentient feelings will be exchanged. You know? That is a development we must bring into. So, first initiates, get ready for second initiation. And take up the service in the temple. This is our training ground. It's guaranteed. Is guaranteed to develop. Because Brahma teaches us that. Brahma teaches us Maya hi yasya jagadanda satani sute traigunya tadvishaya veda vitayamana sattvavalambi parasattvam vishuddha sattvam govindam adi purusham tamahamaja. Brahma is the incarnation of mode of Rajoguna. But he said, I have to resort more of Sattva-guna for any actions. Otherwise my soul will be all remaining into deep darkness of ignorance. But if I behave against the nature of my ego by cultivating more of goodness, then I will have a chance to think about parasattva, means on my constitution of the soul. So transcendental knowledge is received through the soul if he bodily acts in the mode of goodness. So your thinking pattern will be exposed to the transcendental nature. So when you gain transcendental consciousness called Krishna consciousness, you will not give up acting in mode of goodness with others. You will act the way you wanted to be treated yourself. You will act with everyone without any discrimination. Oh, he is my friend and this is my enemy. A pujari cannot think like that. Sasattva avalambi parasattva. And Krishna is Vishuddha Sattvam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. See how the modes have to be transcended. It is shown by Brahmaji. We are in mixed modes. Brahmaji is incarnation of pure mode of goodness. Yes, yet that mode of goodness is going to make him angry. He became angry at four Kumaras. Was it not ignorance there to make think even momentarily, I am the Prajapati and my first progeny told me, buzz off, we don't want to become householders. We are Brahmacharis. And Brahma became angry. In his anger, Rudra came out. Wow, personification of ignorance. He came crying, Father, give me my place so I can act. You know, give me my place. Rudra. Brahma said, okay, you go and expand. Out of sheer anger. So naturally, all the 11 Rudras, they were, you know, generated from Lord Shiva. They were of the nature of devastation. They started uprooting everything, even before the progeny is coming set forth. Brahma also produced the Manasaputras, or through his limbs, the rishis and others. But population was not increasing because, you know, those who are in mode of goodness, they were striking against the mode of ignorance. So there were conflicts. So Brahma thought, oh my God, to become Prajapati, I have to... He is exasperated, you know. So therefore, out of his steady contemplation, he thought, and Manu and Shatrupa came up. And they were engaged in sexual intercourse, it says. So all the progeny came through them. So mankind was generated. Other rishis did other ways. So many things were there explained very nicely. But the idea is that the modes are interfering at every level. And we think we are the master. Hey, this is my house. I'm a sannyasi. Watch out. Hey, Prabhu. Like that. But this is terrible. Such consciousness is terrible. We have to be completely ego-free. The false ego is the real culprit. So Guru in Krishna consciousness has a job to do. Hey Prabhu, you think you are to somebody? Watch out. You are nobody. So more such experiences that smash our ego should be welcome. Not that we become enemy with ISKCON and go away. It's a false ego that has been hurt. Otherwise why Ritviks came out? Their false ego must have been hurt. But fortunately they did not take Guru as he is. How come they are having offensive behavior rather than humble behavior? If they are right, they could be humility personified. But no, false ego will go to the court. What do you think? You have taken up the position yourself. The 11 acharyas, the zonal acharyas, these, that. Oh my God, they have been still quibbling. Opposite each other, making nothing but more and more parties. They are not working for spreading out Krishna consciousness, just detach themselves, tell them to get up their butts stuck on the chairs and go and preach. It's a false ego, has to be smashed. More positioning, more things are given, and the more false ego is going to rise. Okay, yes?
So, what should a male be when performing devotional service? A male, what should it be?
Trinada Pishuni Chena. Tarorapisa Hishnana. Wow, two big extremes. Amanina Manadena. There's another extreme. Kirtaniya Sadaharyan. That is the devotional service is becoming kirtan. For the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. So have complete faith on the instruction of Guru and Krishna. Yes.
And we also hear that all the service we do in temple, that is also serving deities. So what exactly do you meant by that?
If you are able to realize by smashing your false ego the reality about the soul, there are some possibilities, but I trust Srila Prabhupada fully, then all these activities are Krishna conscious activity equivalent to. But the Shastra and Kapil Dev's teachings teach us this. So Srila Prabhupada says, the real heart that pumps all the energy is the altar. You know? If the deities are being taken care nicely, they are vigrahas. Otherwise, they will become galagraha, the burden on your neck. So, that's why the temple is necessary. It's not to generate income. It's not even simply for the neophyte devotees who are attracted to deity worship as a congregation. But a second initiate is not a neophyte. He should never remain neophyte. Unless and until he violates a lot of norms, we have caught the pujaris stealing, at large from anywhere and everywhere because of their position. So the purpose of deity worship is to give us direct experience. The others will show you personal example as a book distributor, is for example. You have been given rough time, and yet you want to distribute book. But by distributing book, if the false ego is smashed, or not. This Avanti Brahman, he became sannyasi, and he had nothing to do except beg the alms. Because in those days, sannyas was not meant for preaching purposes. It was for retirement, and he accepted because he was a failure in the material life. But he is criticized. And look at that guy, failed in the material life. And so many things. He faced it. Sometimes we also face it today. Because the lingering effect of the sannyas will be there in the Shastra. It is forbidden to take sannyas in Kali Yuga. But yet Prabhupada gave for preaching purposes. So, those who are preachers, can't they preach themselves by preaching others? They will know what are they talking. Is it applicable to them or not? It means by every means, all these activities the guru, acharya, is carrying out in terms of Krishna consciousness is meant to advance by smashing the false ego. Pot washing is the best, isn't it? To smash false ego, to wash your soul off the ego, scum of ego should come out. Anybody can do anything in Krishna consciousness, but one which is suggested is very good. And Kali Yuga temple worship is also not meant. But here is preaching is the main aspect. And those who are preachers, they have to be fearless. How Prabhupada preached fearlessly. That is approved. Fearlessness should come in the preachers. Narayano paro vyaktat na kutaschana bibhyati svargapi narkesho tillarthe eva darshina. Those who consider the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, as the ultimate and the most supreme of all, then he has nothing to fear. Na kutaschana bibhyati. If he is sent to hellish condition or heavenly conditions, because they are equipoised, they are indifferent to heavenly condition or hellish condition. So therefore they do not fear. Anything else? Jai Hare Krishna, Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.